You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome to Paco Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol. Nick Tabano here today. Second episode of the Pasco Vale Club Show here on FNR. Last week, it was myself and Lou Toner. We sort of did a beginner's guide to Pasco Vale, spoke about the history of the club, a bit about what's going on from seniors all the way down to juniors. And tonight, they have a massive FFA Cup clash against Dandy City down the highway. That should be kicking off in about 15 minutes' time. So if you're watching that over on the MPL Victoria page, make sure you're tuning in and out a little bit. You know, we've got a big show here planned today. We've got some special guests joining us. And first of all, we've got Nick Georgopoulos here, the under-16s coach of Pasco Vale. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nick. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. So, I mean, let's start off. Let's talk a little bit about yourself and your role here at Pasco Vale. How did it all start for you?
Just virtually got a phone call from Pepe Kolakowski and Paul Costelli, who was a TD back then, and when I was coaching at Spring Hills, and obviously they had the license with the MPL, and it was just probably a drive to go and coach in the MPL, and took a few boys across there, and a lot of the boys are still there at the club, which is great, and that was back in 2016, and sort of been there since, and couple of years there in a row, coached two teams at the one time in the 1 year, and then the following year again, and then sort of passed those boys on after they sort of won the league, and then those boys have gone on and done extremely well. A few playing in the MPL seniors with Pasco Vale, some gone into the A-League, which is great, and now we've got this young group that I've had now for 6 years at the club. And we've just pushed a few boys up now, just recently up into the 21s, into the 19s. Keep losing a few boys to Melbourne City. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's part of it, I guess. But the boys that I've got, they're a really good group and they keep progressing. And a few of them have been now for about 7 or 8 years, even previously, you know, before Pasco Vale. And it's just great to see their development and the way they're going.
You mentioned some players that have gone on to play seniors and at A-League. Tell us a little bit about, you know, which players you've sort of overseen. You know, tell us who's come through your ranks.
Look, the key one for me, obviously, Nicholas Georgopoulos, my son, who was come through the ranks at Pasco Vale and developed really well. And strange enough, me and Vitali played together at Preston back in the day. And then he ended up coaching Nicholas. And then and obviously he's moved on now sort of thing, which is great for him. But hopefully we get him back at the club one day.
Yeah.
You got him, and there's a few other boys, you know, Ben Piraeus, you know, he's in the seniors there at Pasco Vale at the moment too, sort of thing, which is great. And Jonathan Contreras, Oscar Bales, they've all played senior level at Pasco Vale that, you know, I've had a little bit to do with sort of coming through, which is great. And that's what I've sort of been about, and to develop them and get them to a level when, you know, when they get to 17, 18, it's about them and what they can do after that. But up until that stage, you just try and work with them and get them to that point.
I mean, under 16s is that point in a player who's looking to obviously make a quite serious of playing MPL. Obviously, there is an ambition to try and make it at the highest level. At that time, it's a very obviously crucial part. I guess your sort of coaching philosophy and a little bit about what you do, how important is that portion, I guess, of that player's career and what you try and hone in at that age?
Yeah, it's quite critical. Look, I just think the most important stage is earlier on, really, in that, you know, 11, 12, 13, and that really, that's a key development area sort of thing. And I honed in on that really early with these boys. So that was really a big key. And then when they get to 16, it's about now with me, just with formation, strategy, the technical side of it, giving them the tools just in case, you know, tomorrow if one of them leaves and goes to another club and the coach has a different way of his philosophy and the way he's going to do things and different formations. And then, you know, that kid can probably just walk into that team and say, you know what, I know what I'm doing because I've done that before. And that's a key for me, just to give them all these different avenues now sort of thing and different strategies, and they can work with that. And then obviously, like I said, if hopefully they progress and then keep on going, and then moving forward, they've got all these little tools in their box and they can say, you know what, I know that, I can do that. That's what I've been asked to do before. So they're all learning still, they're all developing still, which is great, and they're still growing, and that's a key. So you just love watching them grow up and developing at the moment, which is great. And then look, hopefully they can just push on now. It's a real key because, you know, 2-3 years time, you want to see them playing senior football, if not earlier.
Mm. Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, you know, when you know, those sort of players, you said, this is now the time where they've got to obviously build those skills as well in terms of tactics and everything else, because they may get that opportunity to play reserves or play seniors and they have to be able to fit in. I mean, talking a bit about your season and a bit about the season, the past couple of years have been quite difficult. I mean, for things outside of anyone's control due to COVID. You've had some time off for the past few weeks because of the Melbourne lockdown, but you're back last week.
Yeah.
And you were telling me off air was your first loss in 3 years.
Yeah, it was. We weren't counting, but the boys are pretty shattered. And so was I. We were probably a little bit disappointed
in
the way we sort of played and the way we went about it and sort of coming out of COVID. And we've just brought four new boys into the team, which is great, and great for the club as well. They've all come from a few different clubs, which is good. And they've come in because we're promoted within, and they've gone up into the 19s and 21s. And that's what we're sort of about, and that's what we want to keep happening. So even these boys that are coming, it's about now developing them and getting them to play the way we want to play. And then hopefully they get on board and sort of thing, push along too, and push the boys within the group and make them better players as well. And that's the sort of key when I've brought players in. It's to say, you know what, can you push the boys that are already here and push them for a spot in my team? So then that way, you know what, he's going to work harder and then you're going to work even harder.
Yeah, no, and I mean, after it is obviously that first loss. I mean, it is unfamiliar for yourself and for the players. Just what's sort of been the message? Because obviously, you know, when you win, you win, you win, you get that loss. Yeah. It's almost like a shock to the system, which can either be a good thing sometimes, but it can sometimes weigh on a player's mind. I guess, what was the message after the game, after, you know, a loss like that?
I just told them to walk back from North Geelong, pretty much, and they're still on their way home. But, no, look, we had a good chat after the game, obviously, and then we had a chat and went over it again last night. We'll review the game tomorrow night over the video. We'll do a video review too as well and go into finer details and just point out a few things where we should have been better and where we can be better. So I think that's more the key, and it's, you know, once they sort of see it on tape and the boys get sent the video on the Monday and they have a look and they review it themselves, and then we come in as a group on Wednesday and go over it again. And then we move on pretty quick.
Yeah.
We move on pretty quick. Yeah, like I said, it's a loss. And you know what? Dean Hennessy, the TD, said, Nick, it's not a bad thing sometimes. And look, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know, my boys are winners. They don't like losing. And I don't either. But at the end of the day, that's just going to happen occasionally.
No, of course. And I mean, you know, talking about that break, I mean, it was a 3-week break, I think, between games. What were you guys doing during that period to, I guess, stay fresh, stay fit? Were there training programs written up for players to do at home? I guess, what were you guys trying to do to stay prepared and stay ready?
Yeah, look, I did give the boys a program. They get a running program. They got a core program.
Yeah.
And we spoke about that during the week. I track them virtually on the app and what they've sort of been doing over that 3 or 4 week period sort of thing. And just to give them a bit of an incentive to go and do it sort of thing. Obviously, it was a bit wet and windy sort of thing, conditions sort of thing. So whether they're on the couch or who knows, inside doing it on the treadmill, I'm not exactly sure. But we gave them a program. And look, they're good boys. They usually follow it. We spoke about that during the week. And it's about, you know, you looking your teammate in the eye after that game and say, you know what, did I put in that hard work? Maybe, you know, maybe you didn't put in that hard work. Maybe that's why you didn't do that extra one, you know, the second or third run. So that's part of it, and that's part of their development. And then they've got to just walk away and on their own and sort of say, you know what, I need to be doing this myself. I don't need Nick to push me. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to get to, so I better be doing it myself anyway. It's their own personal drive, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, and on the road this weekend again, Bentley Greens. You know, good now to start getting some consecutive games. What sort of match are you expecting?
Actually, because we played them in round one, and it was a really tough game, actually. So they were very, very competitive. And that's what we've found with this new setup and the way in the format that it's happened this year with the NPL, with the juniors. I think it's worked really well, especially for my boys. Week in, week out, we get a tough game. Everyone's after us, and that's a great thing for us, and that's our challenge each and every week.
I was going to say, you've got, you know, a Melbourne Victory, you know, in your league as well, a team that obviously, a Melbourne City as well, too. NPL teams from the A-League Academy. I mean, you know, coming up against those teams, you know, Victory being top of the league as well, just having a quick scan of the standings, you know, that must see that for the players. Is that sort of that, you're giving that bit of extra motivation to really perform in front of the eyes of, you know, potential scouts and everything else? Does that really motivate the boys too?
Oh, look, they're motivating personally themselves.
Yeah.
They're a good bunch of boys. They've always been motivated. That's why they're doing what they're doing over the last a long period of time, actually. So they've been really good and really consistent. So they always know, and I've always said all along to all my players that, you know, there's someone always watching, matter whether it's training, game day, whatever it is. So, you know, and every training that you sort of back off on, that's the training that you sort of virtually missed out on. So, you know, every session's very important either way.
And I spoke to Lou about this last week in regards to sort of the top to bottom, you know, from technical director down to bottom in terms of what's sort of set out for each team. Is there sort of, you know, an overriding philosophy that the technical director puts down to all the teams to try and play a certain way? Is it, you know, sort of individual based? Is there something that's sort of set out as part of a framework for Pasco Vale? How does that really work?
Oh, look, Dean's always there. He was there watching last night again as well. He was there with Christian's group with the under-14s as well too, sort of thing. So he's overlooking all the teams and making sure we're probably all doing the right thing, which is great. And comes down and watches obviously on Sundays too to make sure that we are playing the right way. And you bounce ideas off him and get feedback off him, sort of thing, if you think that, you know, you're stuck in a situation where you can ask him. But look, all the coaches at the club, they're fantastic. You know, David Chick, even the senior coach, he comes down and watches the boys train as well. He's taken a session with the boys as well. He wants to know their names and the players and what they're capable of, because he knows they're probably, you know, the next few boys that are coming through that are going to virtually step up and, you know, knock on his door pretty much virtually. So, like all the way through it's a good cohesion through all the coaches, all the TD and from the committee all the way down, which is great.
And getting to know your philosophy personally as a coach in terms of what sort of football you want to play, what's your brand? You know, if you sort of had a sort of brand, you like to play more attacking, you know, more off the break, what's sort of the sort of football you like to, I guess, go about with?
It's always been attacking. Always been attacking. Pretty much, you know, as an attacker myself back in the day, sort of thing. It's always about going forward as quick as we can, sort of thing, and catching opposition in transition. And, you know, we've got a quick bunch of boys in our team, which is great too, sort of thing. And that allows you to play that way, which is very good. And you play to your strengths. We don't really sit back. We have players that can play out the back. And, you know, my young goalkeeper that I had for 9-10 years with me as a player, and then now as a goalkeeper. Now he's moved on to the 21s, Lukey. It's fantastic with his feet. And that's where we start all our games. Since the under-9s, that's the way we've done it. And all the way through, and we keep playing out the back as much as we can. And I think that has set up a lot of the boys in the way that, you know, the more touches on the ball, the better they're going to develop going forward, sort of thing. So, and the quicker we get the ball forward, the more goals we're going to score, We haven't had a problem with doing that. We can score goals, and that's pretty much a key to our game.
It seems like a lot now, like recently, you know, a lot of teams, even just around the world, they look to play a lot more, you know, out from the back, you know, keeper good with their feet, defenders good with their feet, you know, something that probably even 20 years ago was, you know, not really heard of, you know, goalkeeper playing as a sweeper keeper, what's that, you know, sort of thing. From when you used to play to now, how has that changed, you know, in terms of the coaches you had to now how it is? How much has that changed?
Oh, damn lot.
Yeah.
It has changed a lot.
Yeah.
Look, for me, like I said, it was just about just developing. You know, I spent a fair bit of time with Ivan Jolich doing the skill acquisition program. And that was all about keeping the ball on the ground, all on the feet. And I've had some good goalkeepers that have come through, sort of thing, with the teams that I've had. And it's all about using your feet. You know, Rory Bryan is, you know, another one there, sort of thing, that is quality with his feet as a goalkeeper, sort of thing. So I've always insisted on that. And I think that just sets up the whole team in the way we're going to play once the keeper sort of knows that, you know what, this is what we're doing. It's on the ground, on the deck. This is how we're going to do it. And then all the boys are on page and sort of things. And, you know, going back at the day that I think probably was more the muddy grounds that you sort of couldn't play on the deck, sort of thing. So it was more about let's get the ball long and get up top and work off that, sort of thing. So, yeah, it's changed a hell of a lot since then.
Yeah, and in terms of the lessons you've learned as a coach, are there things that you've taken along the journey from coaches you've played under, like certain little aspects that you've taken to try and implement to make you a better coach and everything else?
Yeah, look, I've had a lot of influences, you know, even going back, you know, Preston days, Andon Lonchevsky, Louis Petrovsky, then in state level, Tim White, Tony Dunkley back in then, and then obviously going into senior level, you have John Gardner, you know, Jimmy Williams, then moving on, you know, at Altona days, I had Ian Dobson, Gary Cole. You just keep learning. You just keep learning. Even today, I keep learning off other coaches myself and just keep reading. But the theories and the processes that they put in place back in their teams, which was great. You sort of just fed off that and kept it probably in your back pocket. You never knew that you were going to probably go and coach, sort of thing, later on, sort of thing. But I've always used in the way they sort of went about things, and always sort of used bits and pieces and picked things off that, what they've done with my teams and, you know, other teams that I've watched them coach. So it's more the influences that they've had over me in the way they've gone about there, especially inside the dressing room as well. Like I said, all the boys are on page, and more the fact that, you know, that I've had a great bunch of parents for many of years. And they've been a big part of the team, which is great. And they set things up too, even from home sort of thing. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's, yes, the coaches that you've learned things off, which is fantastic. And then, like I said, me and Vitaly used to play back at Preston back in the day sort of thing. And then even just him, he used to come watch the boys each and every week, and he knew each and every player's name. As a senior coach, that's fantastic. And like I said, Chicky's doing the same thing. And now in 21's coach, Ollie, he does the same thing, takes the boys in for training as well. So it's just, you know, we pick things off each other, which you got to keep on doing, Nick, just to keep learning.
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned, I mean, one of the names that stood out for me just hearing Gary Cole. I mean, legend of Australian football, playing under him. What was that like?
Well, I used to watch him as a kid, actually, when he was at Preston. And he was my favourite player back then. And then for him to come to Altona and coach me there was, quite amazing, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, to this day, I see Gary and we say hello and we give each other a big hug, actually, once we see each other. We don't see each other regularly, but just a gentleman, top bloke.
Yeah.
Gun.
And also as an attacker, you know, best person to learn off in terms of, you know, your development too.
Yeah, it was. And that's why, you know, as a kid, and I say to a lot of my players, you need to focus on someone and probably pick things off a game, off an individual that you really, really like, and you can sort of line yourself to, and then sort of just maybe work with things within his game into your game, which is a good thing. And we used to do that, as you know, back in the day, in our day, like I said, with Gary Cole and Steve Smith was a great striker there at Preston too, sort of thing that you go and watch each and every week. So they're the players that you sort of looked up to as a kid. And then like these boys have obviously got their heroes that are playing in Europe and all that. Great. And that's what they have to aspire to, I guess, these boys. And we aspired to play National League back then, sort of thing. And we get there. But, you always look up to Gary Cole and your Ian Dobsons and people like that who have been around. And you just, yeah, at the end of the day, you just keep learning off those people.
You mentioned your initiation, sort of the players that you looked up to. Talk us about how you got into football. I mean, you know, was it a family thing? You know, your parents got you into the game? Was it, you know, stumbling across a game on TV or at the park or something? How did you really get into it?
I'll go back a while. Obviously, Dad played, and quite funny enough, he played for Coburg that used to play at Hoskins Reserve.
Yep.
So he would have been in the early 60s playing at Coburg. And now we've had three virtually generations go through and play at Hoskins Reserve. So he used to play back then at Hoskins. So, hey, look, it all started from Dad. And obviously, you know, he pushed me along to sort of do it sort of thing. And back in the day, there was no under-8s teams when I first looked for a team. Dad went around to numerous clubs around town looking for a team. And then anyway, Preston rang one day and said, we've got a few boys, you want to put a team together? And that's how it sort of ended up. And so Mum and Dad would just drive me down, you know, the cold wintry nights, and you go there and train. And look, it's great, you know, it was a great club, which was fantastic sort of thing. So, but even, you know, moving on from there, it's just, yeah, people driving you along, pushing you along. And then you just got to inspire yourself, Nick, I think, more than anything else, you know what I mean? And you're always going to, now you ask yourself questions and doubts, you say, you know, I could have done a little bit better here, there, whatever it is sort of thing. And there's injuries along the way as well that sort of hamper that.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, those people that, you know, really want you to make, and they can sort of see that you're interested and you're really going to come along, then you just keep pursuing that, I guess.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, before we go to a break and before we let you go as well, I mean, you know, about Pasco Vale as a whole, just the club, for people who don't really know what Pasco Vale is about, because there are people listening, obviously, all around the country who are just starting to learn a bit about the club. Tell us a bit about, you know, your experience with the club itself, you know, like the fans, you know, the real sense of community that's there at the club. You know, for those that don't really know about it, what is Pasco Vale, I guess?
Yeah, like I said, Pasco Vale, when I first went there on loan in 1990, I think it was, and it really, to this day, it hasn't changed a lot.
Yeah.
In the way I say that is like the culture, the people. It's just very warming.
Yeah.
Everyone pretty much knows each other when in the club.
One way or another, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just great, and just gives you that sense of security sort of thing when you sort of walk in there, that everyone's pretty much got a smile on their face, and I think that's the key. You know what I mean? I said my boys come to training, they've got a smile on their face. They walk out the door after training and they're still laughing and giggling, you know what I mean? And you look at all the other teams and they're the same, because I think we just create that atmosphere. And like I said, there's people there that have been there for many years and they've kept that culture there, which is great sort of thing. And then the new people that are coming in sort of warm to that and obviously jump on board with that. And look, we're not the biggest supporter base when it comes to our senior sort of thing, but I think it's the warmth within the club itself and the group of people that are there that really create that more than anything else.
Fantastic. Nick, thank you so much for joining us here. We'll take a short break here on Paco Radio. Back in a sec.